welcome to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims, here live on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. We stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. You have the opportunity to download an app, and this app is free, and it's called TuneIn. You can do this on any electronic device and search WWGH107.1 FM radio. Just hold on 1 second.
Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Linda. This is Roxanne Fillerlot from Job and Family Services.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was just opening up my show. We had a lot of advertisements on today, but I was just search TuneIn once you download free app, okay, on any electronic device. If you have any questions, hold on. If you have any questions or would like to be a part of this conversation, please call 740-383-9944. Now I will turn my attention over to my guest, Roxanne Summerlot. She is the Director of Jobs and Family Services for Marion, Ohio, Marion County. Now, we'll try this again, okay? How are you doing today? Roxanne, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for the invitation today.
Oh, I much appreciate it, and I'm sure my listeners do, too. So, as I stated, you are the Director of Jobs and Family Services for Marion, Ohio, Marion County also. So
right.
I know that today we're living in the age of coronavirus. And I was thinking earlier when we first met each other and got acquainted. Can you remember what was going on last year at this time?
Or around? Oh, my goodness. That seems so long ago. I would imagine that last year at this time, we were in a much different place. I know that our unemployment rate was much lower, probably closer to 4 or 5%, that, you know, employers were hiring, and people found themselves, many people, not all, found themselves in a better spot in terms of being able to take care of themselves and their families. So it's hard to really remember what we did prior to this, you know, recent 6 weeks that we've been through. But it's fair to say that it seems like it's a world ago.
I know, and there was something happened where this people's stamps or food stamps had to be doubled for a month or two, and
I do remember that. Actually, what we talked about last time when I joined you on your show, we were looking at a government, at the federal level, a shutdown.
Okay,
so at that point,
yes,
it was the government shutdown, and there was some risk that the food assistance program was not going to be funded.
Right.
And so we were trying to get really 2 months worth of benefits out to people instead of one to kind of hedge our bets against that funding going away. And we did do that. I remember at that time we rushed to get that through here in Marion County. And then ultimately it worked out, and we didn't have a prolonged shutdown, and that program continued to receive funding. So yes, I had forgotten all about that. But so at the time, a government shutdown seemed to be, you know, a very bad thing. And now when I look at it, it seems a minor thing compared to what we're dealing with now.
Oh, yes. It's certainly much different. And, you know, I guess a lot of people may be laid off from work, and how does that affect their benefits?
Right. Right now, in terms of the food assistance program, we've seen across the state an increase of about 240%, so almost 2.5 times the number of people applying than average. In Marion County, we've seen an uptick in the number of people applying because they've suddenly found themselves without work or with reduced hours, realistically overnight.
Right.
So as they're applying for unemployment benefits, they're also applying, and we would encourage them to apply for other kinds of safety net services that are available to people. And we do have a call center that we moved that from our agency, and now all of our folks are in their homes operating that call center for people to apply for benefits. And we also, from the federal government, have been granted more flexibility than we would normally in talking with people over the phone, and we're able to take what now is called an audio signature, mm-hmm. meaning that we don't need an actual signature on an application, but, we can take that over the phone. So it's enabled us to concentrate on the new applications that we have and trying to get those done as fast as possible.
Right, right. And I thank the government for the way that they have been considering, our citizens and some of the things they may be going through and not able to meet the needs of their family as we're going through this pandemic and this emergency time. And I know there's no time limit or frame to work in, and this may go on for a while yet.
Right.
Yeah. So when you talk about the safety net provides, now what other provisions, is this just for food stamps or other provisions that may be available for it?
The core programs that we administer in our office are the food assistance or SNAP program, the Medicaid program, which provides health insurance, publicly funded health insurance, and we have another program that's called, we call it our PRC program. That's a name that was given to us by the state, and that stands for Prevention Retention Contingency. What that is it's a program that's set up to help people with situational crisis, meaning someone runs into something they didn't anticipate or having a hard time dealing with, and we can use federal funding to help them in that situation. Most of the time, it's in the form of helping people with paying a rent payment or a mortgage payment, car repair, if you find yourself and you're going back to work but you haven't had income for a while, we provide gas cards for people until they kind of get on their feet. So there's all sorts of things that we can help with under that program. The prevention part of that is that we operate under a theory that because somebody runs into a short-term problem, doesn't necessarily mean that they need to apply for public assistance and be on that for a long period of time. Sometimes all they need is some help right now, mm-hmm. and they have a plan for moving forward. So we like to look at that as a safety net for people that, just find themselves in a crunch and in a position that they're short and they need some help to get on back on their feet.
Right.
And that particular funding stream is limited by the federal government to those folks that families that have a minor child, a child under 18 in their home, and meet income qualifications. It's we use the federal poverty level, but there are a lot of folks in Marion County that would meet that and have minor children.
Right.
So we would encourage people to, if they run into that situation, to give us a call and see if there's something we can do.
Right. And I know that you have a lot of people who are working but still rely upon your services. And how is
right.
that going?
Even under normal times, the majority of people that receive food assistance are people that are working. Mm-hmm. They're just either working at jobs that don't lift them completely out of poverty, or they have large families and they're working many times more than one job, but they're still within that low-income bracket, and they use food assistance to just free up some cash that they can spend on other things.
Right, right. I just wanted to put that plug in there because I know you and I talked about this at our last meeting, that a lot of people think
thank you for doing that, because I think that's important for people to know.
Yes, that people do have to work in order to get food stamps and
yes,
other assistance too, also. Yes.
Right.
A lot of people think that people are just there lazy and the government is taking care of them through what they call the welfare department, Job and Family Services Agency, and that's just not true. People are working for these benefits.
Right. Yeah, there is a requirement for most benefits that a person contribute time and effort, either working or doing volunteer work. Of course, we would rather see people working and actually earning a wage, and most people do that.
And that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. Yeah. And with this coronavirus, we initially knew that our primary mission, our critical mission, was to support families that were suddenly out of work and also support families that are just continuing to be fragile economically. You know, we have families that work right up to the edge, and in many cases, it's paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So we looked at that as a priority. As we move forward, our priority is also going to be to support our economy and try to get people back to work.
Right. Okay. Now, when you say get back to work, I know your agency, or the Ohio Means Job Agency, is right there connected, I think, with your Department of Human Services, and
the Ohio Means Job Center is part of our agency. It's one of our divisions, and they focus on connecting people who are looking for a job or a better job with businesses that are looking for people and hiring people. So we always do that. I think as more businesses open up, it'll be our challenge to try to get people back to work if possible. I expect that some people might find themselves in, you know, a need to maybe learn some different skills to get a different kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
So we can help with that too.
That's good. That's real good. Let's go back to the food assistance subject we were talking about, and then I may go back to the jobs and how that's working out, the unemployment situation. What provisions are being made now for people who need help through Job and Family Services for the SNAP program, food assistance?
There are a number of things that have happened since the COVID outbreak regarding food assistance. One of the things that the state of Ohio has done is normally a person that receives food assistance sort of has to reapply every 6 months to make sure that they're still eligible. The state has extended that period or suspended all those reapplications. So basically, if you receive food assistance, you are still going to receive it, and you won't need to reapply until probably sometime at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That frees up our staff locally to concentrate on those people that are just newly applying. So that's a difference. The other thing that has happened starting in March is that Ohio received permission from the federal government to issue, for people that have food assistance, to issue them additional benefits for March, April, and May. Usually the amount that you receive under the food assistance program is based on how much income you have coming into your family. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if you have a family of, say, four, and if you didn't have any income, you'd be eligible for $600 a month in food assistance. But you have some income, so your benefit's going to be closer to $250. For March, April, and May, all those people would be receiving the maximum allowable. So everybody would get that $600 regardless of what other income that they have. Mm-hmm. For those folks that are already at the maximum, they wouldn't receive additional, but the state and the federal government wanted to make sure that as much benefit as possible could get out to people,
right,
to, again, allow them to use the cash that they had on other needs like rent or gasoline or car payments or phone bills. So we've been able to do that for March, April, and May. The other thing regarding food assistance that's just about to be issued is Ohio is going to be working with the State Department of Education. And for families that have kids in school that qualify for free and reduced lunch, mm-hmm. Those families will also receive additional food assistance benefits for kids that they have in their household that are students, and normally they'd be in school, but right now they're at home. And I know we get a number of calls every week from people that say that because their kids are home all day,
right,
their expenses have gone up. So they, you know, they're eating more, especially because they are in the house. You know, they're not out with friends and they're not doing other things. So, you know, they just tend to eat more food. They're using electricity all day long. You know, all of the things that you may not consider, all those household expenses go up when you may have two, three kids at home. So this should help a little bit with that in providing families with some extra food assistance because they have children at home.
Well, that's very considerate of the government. And I know this is a new thing for everyone concerned. And I think that I have to give our governor credit. And I think he has really been helping, a big help to our cities and counties in Ohio. How do you think he's been doing as far as his performance during COVID-19?
I have to say, I think that our governor has been doing tremendously. Actually, you know, when I look at the press conferences every day and I hear our governor speak and our director, our health department director and the job and family services director, all of the leadership that we have in place, including our local elected officials, mm-hmm. have been tremendous. They're doing a great job. They understand, I think, what people are going through, and they're doing their best to make decisions that that keep people safe, but also understand all the sacrifices that people are making. And I honestly feel very fortunate to live in a state where we have, at this particular time, leadership that's capable of making those kinds of decisions.
Right, right. I think we all appreciate it. I know a lot of people are anxious about getting back out there, getting back to their norm and, you know, going like they used to go or feel like going and wearing what they
sure.
want to wear, not wearing what they don't want to wear, like a mask. Now, your facility, are you required to wear a mask?
Our facility currently is our public lobbies are closed to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not open to the public in the traditional way.
Right.
All of our staff are working, but they're working remotely, and about 80% of them, I would say we have about 60 people working out of their house. So they're, you know, answering the phone calls they normally get. All those calls are forwarded. They are doing emails. They're doing online things. They're manning the call center, but they're not doing it within the building. There are about 15 of us that are rotating through our building, and we're right now making plans to see about how best to reopen to the public. And probably most concerning is our OMJ Center with our resource room, because we get a lot of traffic in there. So we have to be careful that we're protecting the public when they come in and protecting our staff as well. We will be requiring that staff wear masks while they're in their personal workspace. They will not be required. So, for instance, if I'm in my office by myself, mm-hmm. I won't wear a mask. But if I leave my office and go to other parts of the building or I'm meeting with other people, then I will be wearing a mask. And we're also going to be providing masks to the public as they enter the building. We'll be doing the wellness check that many of us are used to doing by this time. Right now, with our staff, we're taking temperatures every day.
Okay.
And if we have people that seem to have an elevated temperature, you know, a little bit of a spike, we take it again in the afternoon. We keep, you know, keep an eye on that. And then we also ask people every day some, you know, questions about their symptoms, the new cough, or have they been around someone that has been ill. So we're going to be taking those kind of safety measures mm-hmm. with our customers as they come in also, again, for their own protection and for the protection of our staff. So I think in particular Marion County, because we have, you know, we have the unfortunate situation where we have a high COVID case as it relates to MCI and the prison.
Right.
We also have a relatively high community spread case compared to other counties our size. So we feel like we need to take extra precautions and just be extra careful so that we can do everything within our power to, you know, to control that as much as we can.
Right. To be conscious of what you're doing and how you're doing it to protect yourselves and other people.
Right.
Right. And I think that's been a problem with a lot of people, you know. They just don't want to take time to protect other people and themselves. And I think about even people of your own household, you know, we still need to protect them also.
Yes, you know, and you know, the other thing is that it matters what you do at work, but it also matters what you do when you're not at work,
mm-hmm.
because you bring those habits to work with you. So we are doing our best to remind the staff that we have, even while they're at home working on their computers, to still pay attention to all those things that we're supposed to be doing, like washing our hands, covering, you know, our nose and mouth, you know, just wearing a mask when we're outside, all of those things. And the more we do that, I think the sooner we're going to be back to normal.
I think so, too. And how long that may take for everybody to get on board, only God knows. Only
right,
God knows,
yeah.
You know.
It's not going to be quick. And I know personally when I go out in public, I wear a mask. And if you have that on for any period of time, it's not very comfortable.
No.
But it's necessary. And so I think we're just going to have to be inconvenienced for a period of time.
I think so, too. Because like you said, it's not comfortable for any of us. And it is a change for all of us. But we're trying to
right.
do what we can do so we can get out of this situation. Like if the virus can be killed off, well, let's all get together and be of one mind. But now that the economy and our cities are being opened up softly, still the cases are rising, getting more testing done. People who may have had this disease for a long time for months, and we won't know until we get the testing done. So do you think you'll be an instrument in that too in the future?
I do. I do as that becomes available. Because we want to make sure that the people that we have, especially at work, even though they may not be exhibiting symptoms, they may not look or feel like they're sick, they may still be a carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a lot more confidence building if we had the knowledge about whether they're carrying the virus or not. It's strange to think about those kinds of things, and I certainly would have never thought that I would be thinking about those things, you know, a year ago. But I think right now is an opportunity for us all to care about each other.
Yes.
And just to take whatever precautions we can take.
Right. I don't think any of us in our wildest imagination would have even dreamed of something like this, you know, because it's worldwide. It's affecting everybody.
Right.
You know, we're all suffering. Most of everybody's on the lockdown, at least home. You know, get your necessities done. And don't stay out too long and go back home. And we don't know how many people have already had it or been affected by this. They may not have been to the hospital. They may have been doctoring themselves at home. Because I think a lot of people who either had the flu or some kind of strange upper respiratory condition going on, and they're thinking now, well, maybe that was part of the coronavirus, you know.
I definitely think that's true. I know in our own family, we had people that had come down with the flu or what they thought was the flu,
mm-hmm.
You know, weeks prior to the outbreak, and now that we know what the symptoms are, they had those same symptoms.
Right, had those same symptoms.
So I think you're right. I think we have a lot of that in our community, and we just, you know, need to be on guard with that. Our local health director, Tracy Tinsler, has been great
mm-hmm.
in terms of answering questions, and as we move forward even with reopening our building, they've offered to come in and take a look at our building and take a look at how many people access us and make sure that what we're doing is the right thing and the best thing to do. So I feel fortunate about that as well.
That's good. She's very knowledgeable about what's going on. I'm sure she's in meeting after meeting, probably daily briefings.
Yes, she is.
Yes. I've had her on my show. I'm looking for her to return the call because every day it's a new change and something else is going on. But when it comes down to jobs and people who are on unemployment, I think I read this on the news. You know how you get the news flash on your phones that people who are on unemployment and maybe an employer is trying to get in touch with them to come in for an interview for another job. Isn't that a requirement while you're on unemployment to answer those people who are trying to reach out to you for employment?
Yes, there is a requirement to seek work, as they call it, and do a job search. I think initially that requirement was waived, but I do know that as we move forward and businesses start to open and call maybe people that had been laid off and mm-hmm. you know, call them back to work, then those individuals would need to either go back to work or have what they call good cause for not returning to work.
Okay.
And that affects their unemployment.
That's what they were saying, that a lot of people had been reached out to. I can't per se, it was the state of Ohio, but they were refusing to go to the interviews or call the people back, and they
mm-hmm.
wanted to report them. And I was telling my daughter, they could lose the benefits that they are getting if they refuse to answer those calls. So
right.
I guess I was right about that too, huh?
Right. You know, our office locally in the counties, we don't operate the state unemployment
mm-hmm.
The state employment program ourselves. Now, We certainly take a lot of calls because Job and Family Services at the state and Job and Family Services at the county, people don't really, you know, pay attention to which one is which. So we get a lot of calls from people asking about applying for unemployment or trying to get through or wondering, you know, what certain things mean when they get emails. And we've worked with the state to be able to help those folks and answer questions for them, just because we know that the state is overwhelmed with those kind of calls. Mm-hmm. And if we can help with that locally, we'd like to do that. So probably the number one reason people are calling our agency right now, 80% of the calls are all related to unemployment. Okay. And we can answer some questions, some basic questions. A lot of times I think people just want to be able to talk to someone. And we can, you know, give them some advice about what's the maybe best time of the day to try to get into that system. And the state keeps us updated every day on new things in unemployment so that when people call us, we have the most current information.
Well, that's good, being able to have those briefings every day. So, because every day something changes or something's added.
That is very true.
Taken away. And boy, I just thank God that, you know, the government is reaching out like that so that we can all know to a basic understanding or knowledge of what is transpiring, what to expect in the future, because things are just changing so rapidly. And I know that we're all in like a little anticipation, you know, we're a little anxiety going on, and it's just one of those times we haven't been in before.
No, we really, none of us have any experience that that is like this, at least not anyone that, you know, that I know. I think some people may have had similar experiences, but it's been a long, long time ago.
Yes, yes. And just think how old they may have been at that time.
Right.
Yeah, that's been a long time. Wow. Okay. I'm glad to know that, you know, people who are in need are being taken care of. People who are on unemployment. Now, I didn't even realize that that option was waived before they start opening up the economy again softly. Do you think by any reason this may be too soon to open up?
The option was waived just because they it was difficult for people to look for work when that stay-at-home order was in place. Mm-hmm. Some people. Although the state did put together, they put up a new website that is just jobsearch.ohio.gov, and that website has a list of all the essential employers that are looking to hire people, mm-hmm. and they're hoping to find people that are willing to do that work and that are available for work. Right. So if it's an employer that has a job, they can go on that site and post it. Lots of availability in healthcare. Certainly, you know, anyone with retail, the grocery stores are always looking for people. There are a lot of jobs available right now, mm-hmm. in those kinds of industries and businesses where they continue to serve the public.
Right.
They're essential too.
That's right. And that's good because they need more people to assist them that they can provide for the customers or the citizens, you know, more effectively. And I saw that where there's a shortage of meat in the stores, and I don't know how true that is. As of this week, they seem to be pretty well packed last weekend. So now this is another week, something different, right?
Right. Yeah. Every week's a new week.
And there is a shortage of meat right now. Is that true?
Yeah. I know that there are some stores that are rationing. Limiting the amount of meat that you can buy right now, similar to stores that had to ration, you know, paper products and bleach and hand sanitizer. They're also beginning to do that with meat. And in particular, I know that there have been some plants, some meat processing plants in the United States that have been hard hit. They have hot spots of the virus in those plants, and so they've had to shut them down, which impacts all of us and our supply of meat.
Yes, it does. What a day. What a time.
I know.
What a time we are going through. I mean, it's like, is this really real? But, you know, you can't see it, you can't touch it, but it's real. We're actually all being a witness of what's going on today. And I was sharing with my guest yesterday, it's like the hand of God is out there, and he's still in control, but there's just so much that we have no control over as men. You know, we can't stop it. We can't change it. We're trying to change it, but it's still here with us.
Right. And, you know, when other kinds of disasters hit, there are things that we can see, like a tornado or, you know, a windstorm. I mean, there are things that if you look out the window, it actually looks different. But this disaster is much bigger and far-reaching. But when you look out the window, it looks the same.
So that's hard to put your
mind around.
It is, because I think every day, well, it's not that bad again today. Wow, it looks so nice. Go outside, and then you have to. When you get ready to go outside, then you have to caution. Do I have
my
mask? Do I have, you know, my hand sanitizer with me? And hand sanitizer, I don't think anyone's even selling that anymore in the stores.
No, and that's one of the things that businesses are struggling with, and it really, I mean, even if they're able to reopen, they need to reopen with all those safety precautions in place, with enough masks, with enough hand sanitizer and plexiglass guards, you know, like the ones that we have in the grocery store. And my agency's in that process right now, trying to find places to buy those things so that we have them available when we open.
Right. Yeah, you still have to take your precautions, because it looks like we'll be doing this at least past December 2020 into maybe spring of 2021. So,
that's what they say.
It's a long time. It seems like it.
It is.
It seems like it. Well, thank you so much, Roxanne Summerlott, for being a guest on the Voice of a People today and being available for my listeners and bringing them up to date about unemployment and employment and the SNAP program and how the government has provided extra assistance for those who may need it. We thank you for just taking time out of your busy day to be here for us. Thank you so much.
Well, Linda, I appreciate the invitation anytime. It's always good to talk with you. And I hope this has been helpful for some folks out there. Again, I would ask people probably the best to go to our website, which is MCJFS, Marion County Job and Family Services. So that's MCJFS.com. And all of the programs we operate are on there, and our contact information. And just if you have a question, feel free to call.
Right. That's great. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. That was Roxanne Summerlott, the Director of Job and Family Services here in Marion, Ohio, Marion County. And I really appreciate her spending time with us today and letting us know exactly what the government is doing and trying to do to help those who are suffering the most from the COVID-19 virus. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People today. I will not be able to share with you all those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, but I want to give them a shout out. Logos Ministries, Inspect Ohio, Chappie's Hydraulic, and those of you who faithfully listen, my group people, hi, how you doing? Be strong and be safe, and, you know, be careful out there. You know, don't take anything for granted, because the next moment is not promised to any of us. But let us be safe, let us be mindful, and let us be strong as a people. we're giving thanks out to our mayor, our governor, and all those who are in a position to help those that are in need. We thank them for the information that they're sharing, which helps give us much more wisdom about to go forward together. Thank you. God bless. Till next time.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The place to talk. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Marianne Michaels. Marianne, what, 30 years in Marion City Schools?
Yes.
Did you ever think you'd live to see the day?
No. I mean, that was atrocious, I think. Absolutely horrible. No, never had anything like that. I'll tell you what, I can't ever think of a student that I didn't like.
Yeah.
And I mean that sincerely.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, because Mary Ellen Withrow was in here last week, and we talked about Hillary, and she said one of the biggest obstacles she will face is because they're harder on women.
They certainly are.
Who get older than men.
Yes.
Yeah. Hillary needs a new hairdo, though, I'll say that.
See, you would never say that about a man.
No.
Would never say a man needs a new hairdo.
And that upsets me, Charlie.
Yeah, why would you say
Hillary,
that?
Hillary, her hair isn't very creative. I mean, sometimes this long, straight long, and she could look $1 million better with a good hairdresser.
Well, why don't you write her a letter and tell her that?
Yes. Well, I, that it would, that's one thing. You know, I like Hillary.